Guys, I am excited for today. The Lord gave me a word. I could not get away from this word all week. It's not your traditional Mother's Day word. So if you came today to feel all glamorous, moms, we do honor you, but you may not feel so glamorous when you leave today. But it's not as a consequence. Who in here knows that every trade, every barter has a consequence? Everything we do has a consequence. Every decision we make, and it would be really good if I could start my sermon on the first slide. Every trade we make has a consequence. And who in here understands that nobody drifts away from God by accident? At some point, there was a trade. There was a trade that took place. And you don't just wake up one day and he's gone. Where'd he go? I don't know where he's at. And the word that the Bible uses here, it means a trade. So we're going to read three scriptures today throughout the service. And each one of the scriptures, against the Hebrew and against the Greek text, the word literally means to barter, to trade, to exchange something. It means that you have given something and you got something back. Isn't that how trade works? You exchange, you give something and you get something. And the question that our three texts are going to force us to answer today, and they should, is very simple. What did you put on the table for trade, and was it worth it? What did you put on the table for trade, and was it worth it? See, as a family, Alicia, Caden, and Caleb and I, we are doing a Bible reading together. We are working through, the goal is to read through the Bible in a year. Now, granted, we're behind, life happens, who can testify? But on Monday night, as we were reading our Bible, came across a verse that just hit me different. Came across a verse that it just stopped me. And it's like, I already knew this, I've already read this, but the wording, and in that moment, it was so profound that it couldn't get past what we just read. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? What I need you to understand is this is the very reason why you should be reading your Bible every single day. Why? Why should I, Mike? Because God's going to use different parts, different books, different chapters, different verses, or reading through the Bible for the fifth time before the Holy Spirit chooses to speak to you on a certain part. And if we're not in our Bibles, we're not going to have that. He's going to take a certain part of the Bible to get at things that he wants us to deal with, things that need to be dealt with. And church, if you're not in the Word, guess what? You're making trades that you're not even aware of. If you're not opening God's Word and consuming God's Word, you're already making a trade that you don't realize you're making. And if you have your Bibles this morning, would you go ahead and open them? Like I said, we're going to read a couple of scriptures. But the first one, our main reading, is in the book of Psalm. So if you just open your Bible to the middle, and then it's either to the left or to the right, depending on what you determine the middle is. We're going to find ourselves in Psalms chapter 106, verses 19 through 20. And don't read it yet, because I want the impact of it to hit us all at the same time. So don't read ahead. As a bus driver, I see things like this all the time. A kid brings something valuable. How many people have had your kid sneak something into school, you found out later and didn't find out it was gone, and now it's gone forever because they traded it on the bus? Okay. That goes right into my next line. A kid brings something valuable, and within seconds, somebody else wants it. And sometimes they'll actually trade for it, and sometimes it's for something that doesn't even compare. A can of green beans. Who knew? Would you know this morning that Israel did the very same thing? My goal today is not to just show you an event. It's to show you the event, the outrage, and the diagnosis of what took place. So first, we get into the event. The stage is set, and we start by reading our scripture. They, first off, I need you to understand that this is Israel. Can you see that? Did that show? Yes, that worked so good. Israel made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a metal image. They, again, Israel, exchanged. That means to trade, to barter. They exchanged the glory of God. For the image, are you ready? Of an ox that eats grass. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. And if you know your Bible, you know the account of where this happens. It's in Exodus chapter 32. Israel corrupted themselves. Moses is up on the mountain. He's up there too long. The people say, we don't know about this fellow called Moses. Aaron, make for us a god that we can worship. And they took off all their gold that they plundered out of Egypt, and they melted it down. And Aaron's accounting is, I just threw all the gold in the fire, and poof, out came this cow. They made for themselves a golden calf. We know this story. We can read through it, and it's fine. But then for me to hear on Monday night how the psalmist said it, they exchanged the glory of God, hit me so different. And maybe this morning you've been there. Maybe you've chased the promotion and you got it. And 6 months later, you realized what it cost you. Maybe it was a relationship that you walked away from because something else looked better and it wasn't. Has anyone ever seen the grass is greener on the other side until you get to the other side and now the grass looks greener back where you were from, right? Maybe it was your integrity. Maybe it was your purity. Maybe it was a standard that you used to hold that you don't anymore, not because you decided it wasn't worth holding, not because it wasn't wrong, but because keeping it got uncomfortable. You made the trade. It felt reasonable at the time, and then you ended up holding something that couldn't deliver what God already was to you. You made a change. And my question this morning is, was it worth it? The cost of Israel's exchange was staggering, church. 3,000 Israelites died by the sword the day that they made the cow. When Moses came down, he got the tribe together and he said, if you're going to follow the Lord, get on my side and then go through the camp killing those who partook in the worship of the idol. And if that wasn't enough, God also sent a plague on top of that. One trade, one moment of bartering away the glory of God, and the bill came due fast. And maybe nobody died in your exchange. I hope nobody died in your exchange. Maybe the cost looks smaller from the outside, but you still felt the cost. You know what you lost, and the exchange still happened. God's glory being exchanged for something that was less. You don't lose God, you trade him. You don't lose God, you trade him. Now let's look at the outrage. Oh, I'll leave that up there. I see Deb taking a picture. Do you want me to smile or no? Okay. You don't lose God, you trade him. And by the way, is Dave okay? Okay. So here's the outrage. Now, this wasn't a one-time mistake. If you've read through the Old Testament, you know that Israel, even Kadad said the other night as we were reading, he said, don't they just learn? Don't they ever just figure it out? This isn't a one-time mistake for Israel. This wasn't just a golden calf and they learned their lesson. It became a pattern. It became a habit. Generation after generation, Israel kept making trades. The gods of the nations around them, they made trades for. The Baals, the Asheroth, the idols of wood and stone. Israel kept exchanging the glory of God. And God watched it happen over and over and over again until finally, through the prophet of Jeremiah, he says something that frankly, every time we read any of these verses, should just stop us cold. And if you would like to, you can turn your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11. Otherwise, it'll be on the overhead here. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11. And as God speaking through Jeremiah, and I like to think that this is a rhetorical question. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods, but my people have changed their glory? Now what this means here, this is the word that is used here, also it can be used for God's glory. It means the same thing. They changed their glory for that which does not profit. Has a nation changed its gods even though they are no gods? No, they don't. They don't change their gods. God is the Father, if you can imagine this, he's watching over Israel. He's watching them choose less. Parents, how many times have your kids chose less than what you had hoped for? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many times? How many times have you watched your kid make the same mistake over and over and over again? And what the Lord says through Jeremiah is stunning. He looks at all the nations that are around Israel, all the surrounding, people who worship gods that aren't real gods, so they're not gods, they're idols. They're wood, they're metal, they're stone. They're gods that have never done a single thing for them. And he says, even they don't exchange for other gods. Even they stay loyal. But my people, the ones who I split an ocean for, the ones that I fed in the desert, the ones that I have called by name, they keep making the trade. And I wonder this morning, are we still making the trade? Are we making a trade? Here's what breaks my heart as your pastor. Not as someone who has it all figured out, because I don't. Don't know if I ever will. I told Arvin this morning that he has way more patience than I do, and I don't know if I'll ever get to the level of patience that that man has. I had to apologize because like 3 months ago I said he's probably more patient than he should be, maybe to a fault, and I had to just say, I just hope you know that wasn't an insult. That was just me not making the mark of being patient. It's not because I am perfect. We all know that I'm not. But this comes from somebody who knows what God can do in a life, who has seen it, who has personally experienced it. I look out and I see people. And it doesn't matter, but sometimes I see the distance. I see the distance. I see the trades that are being made that shouldn't be made. I see people who know songs, who know when to stand and when to sit and when to shake hands and when to put a smile on their face, who know the right thing to say at the right time and to act the right way. Maybe you've been coming through those doors for days, maybe for weeks, maybe even for years. But something, church, something is still being held back because something is still on the bargaining table. And I wonder what we have put on the table that we're still willing to barter for. Did you know that Israel's trades eventually cost them everything? They were carried off to Babylon with nothing left to stand on. And while maybe you weren't carried to a foreign country, if you were, welcome. This is Iowa. We're so glad you're here. Maybe you weren't carried off against your will, but the result of the trade is something that you might still live with today. The result of your trades, you might just be wrestling with this morning. Exchanging God's glory for lesser things always brings disappointment, separation, and hopelessness. Sin isn't just disobedience. It's choosing less when you know better. Sin isn't just disobedience. It's choosing less when you know better. Now, we move on to the diagnosis. What Jeremiah described in Israel is where Paul tells us in Romans that this is not unique to Israel. This is bigger than one nation. This is the story of every human heart without God. And if you have your Bibles, you want to open it, Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Otherwise, it'll be on the slide as well. This one is probably one of the most hard-hitting of all of them. You ready? Romans 1, 21 through 23. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, read, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling, not being, but resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. For although they knew God, who did they know? They knew God. They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they actually became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God. Just take a moment and fathom that. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. That progression is the diagnosis in itself. In their in three steps, and they're on the screen now. They knew. They suppressed. They traded. They knew, suppressed, and they traded. Paul isn't describing someone who never had a chance. He's not describing a people group who have never been reached on the missions field yet today. Who he is describing is somebody who knew and drifted anyway. And it rarely happens. It starts small. It's a Sunday here. It's a Sunday there. It gets missed. It's not important. We're not here. And I get it. Life happens. But then reading of the word gets neglected. Prayer turns into an afterthought. And slowly, quietly, justifications start creeping in to make excuses for things that used to be a hard no. We find ourselves shrugging our shoulders and saying, it's okay, it's just fill in the blank. And would you know that I took the liberty to fill in the blank today? Can you see that? Not very well, can you? It's okay to skip reading my Bible. It's just been a long day. It's okay to go to the bar. It's just where my friends are. It's okay to lie to them. I just don't want to hurt them. It's okay to skip church. I have so much going on. I hear God more outside of church anyway. That's the drift. This is how it happens. It's not one big dramatic moment of walking away. It's a slow series of small steps, small trades, continuously bartering that add up to a life that looks like somebody who never knew God. And here's what makes Paul's diagnosis so heavy. He's not saying they didn't know better. He's saying they did know better. They most certainly knew better. They knew God. They just simply stopped honoring Him as God. They became futile in their thinking, and their hearts got so dark, and claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they traded the glory of the immortal God for images. A series of choices, exchanges made one at a time, until the glory of God got traded for something that can't even hold the weight that you're putting on it. If you would be so bold, who here right now is carrying one of the heaviest things in their life that they've ever carried? Anybody care to raise their hand and say, that's me? Can you imagine walking away from your relationship with the Lord and placing it on whatever this is, upside down, because we have declared that this is our God? Does that not seem foolish, saying that out loud? Can I submit to you that we make some of these choices like this every single day? This is nothing. But the presence of the Lord, He's where we can put that weight, where we can put that baggage. Drift doesn't happen in a moment. It happens one small trade at a time. Drift doesn't happen in a moment. It happens one small trade at a time. And to that, I just say, far be it from us. Lord, have mercy if that's where we find ourselves today. If you feel anything this morning, I pray what you feel is the Holy Spirit doing what only He can do. He's the one that convicts. He's the one that brings attention because He loves. And if this morning, if this sermon is hitting you in such a way that you're mad at me and you don't want to be here and it's uncomfortable, that's the Holy Spirit putting His finger on one thing because He wants it dealt with. He wants it dealt with in your life. And would you know, church, that that's the whole story of Jesus? That God watched humanity keep making the trade. This is so true in my life. When I tell you I was rotten, there is nobody more rotten than I was. And someday when the Lord releases me, I'll compare notes with those who think they were more rotten than me. But it's not about that. It's that God watched us continue to make the trade, generation after generation, day after day, decision after decision. And instead of walking away and saying, He is not worth fighting for, Jesus stepped in. Jesus came and lived the life that we couldn't live. He died because of the trades that we made. He died the death that our trades deserved, and He rose again so the trade that we made could be reversed. So what was lost could be restored. So the glory that we so recklessly bartered away could be returned to us. Not because we earned it, not because we did anything for it, but because He brought it back to us. Church, that's the gospel. That's why forgiveness is possible. And that's why coming back is even an option. Every trade has a consequence. Every trade. But every trade can also be a turning point. And mothers, I want to speak to you for a minute. And then I'm going to speak to everybody else in the room. And for those who had mothers that I'm about to describe, the Lord has blessed you abundantly. And for those who did not have mothers, as I'm about to describe, the Lord still blessed you abundantly. Moms, what you hold on to matters more than you know. What you hold on to matters more. Some of you are here today because your mom refused to make the trade. She refused to trade the glory of God for convenience in life. The decision to refuse the trade, to keep God's glory as the thing you will not bargain away. I need you to understand this morning that that decision does not just impact you. It doesn't just affect you. It echoes. It goes forward into your kids, your grandkids, and people who are watching you from a distance. When you treat the glory of God as the most precious thing, and you are refusing to barter it away so life could be easier, you're making a decision that is going to ripple for generations in your family. There are families who had a mom, who had a grandma or a woman in the home who held on, who trusted God when it didn't make sense, who stayed calm when everything around her was uncertain. Anybody? Who looked at impossible situations and said, God will see us through this. And those kids today, those kids would testify today, even though they're grown and they have their own kids and maybe their own grandkids, that they still draw from the well that their mother was drawing from. Because they watched mom's faith not shake. They look back at those moments and they know. They know God is real because they watch somebody refuse to trade him away. And what that means for you today, that's how a legacy is created, moms. You want to leave a legacy where your kids can draw from that well? That's what you leave behind when you hold on to the glory of God instead of exchanging it for something less. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're carrying the weight of trades that you've already made. You may not be a mom. You may not even be a woman. But what you've heard today, you recognize yourself in everything we talked about. This is not just for moms. This is not just for dads. This is for everybody today. I want you to hear this clearly. Forgiveness is still possible. Reconciliation is still possible. Hope is still possible. Jesus is not done with you. He's not standing off at a distance waiting to see if you can clean yourself up first. No, church. He wants to be in a relationship with you today, just as you are. And when you stop making the trade, when we stop bartering with the Lord's glory, and when you come back to Him and refuse to exchange His glory for lesser things, you become someone who can point others to Him. You become someone who can engage our community for Jesus, because you refuse to barter away the glory of the Lord. Who knows that you can't give what you've already traded? Once it's traded, it's not yours anymore. You might end up with a can of green beans out of it. But here's what you can do. You can give what you've held on to. You can give what you've held on to. So don't trade God's glory. And if you have, church, today, come get it back. In a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to bow their heads and to close their eyes. But that's here in a moment. There's one exchange. There's one exchange that we can make that always works in our favor, and that's surrendering your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've been coming around church, you know the songs, you know the routine, but you've never actually given him your life, surrendered completely, totally, wholly. Maybe you walked away from him, and this morning you know that it's time to come back. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So church, if that's you today, you need to understand that it's not a trade that you earn. It's a gift that you receive. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning, please? If that's you today, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus for the first time, or maybe you have been away and you're ready to come back, I want you to raise your right hand right now. Nobody is looking. This is between you and the Lord. Is there anybody this morning who would say, I need to come to the Lord, or I need to come back to the Lord? Praise the Lord. I see your hand. Anybody else? Church, let's pray together. If you would, let's just keep our heads bowed and let's pray. And I need you to understand that this prayer today has nothing to do with anything. It's about the posture of your heart. If you mean this, if you're just saying it because I told you to say it, it means nothing. But the condition of your heart is what matters. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your forgiveness, for my sins, for dying on the cross, for my trades. Thank you for making a way for me to be restored in your presence. Change me. Use me. Make this a moment that forever marks and changes my life. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, there's one person this morning who said, I want to give my life to the Lord. And I say, praise the Lord for that. And maybe you're here this morning, you didn't raise your hand. That's okay. But there's something in here that likely spoke to you. It something hit you. And in a moment, I'm going to call you to the front as well. Maybe you know exactly what's sitting on your trade table. You know exactly what it is that you're bartering the Lord's glory for. And you're tired of holding it. You're tired of letting that be the piece that is getting traded. Maybe you've been in a drift and you're ready to stop. Maybe you just need somebody to partner with you and to pray over you. This morning, church, this is your moment. Don't talk yourself out of it. Nobody in this room is in a position to judge you. If they are, guess what? They need to be up here as well this morning. The Holy Spirit, I believe, has been speaking to individuals in here throughout this entire message. And the enemy this morning will say to you, wait, don't go. Don't go up there. We'll deal with it later. That feeling you have right now, that's pull. That's the Holy Spirit prompting you. That is not pressure for me. That's God saying, come, don't trade this moment away as well. So I'm going to step off this platform, and I want you to get out of your seat, regardless if it's just to stand or if it's to come. But whatever it is, church, that is on your trade table, whatever it is that has been holding you back, bring the weight of it and lay it down for the Lord to take care of. Come on, church.